into the preacher's ears to hear Bible pages rustling as we preach. So do that. And let's pray as we look at this together. Father, we are so grateful for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that you long to teach us something this morning about your character, about your purposes within our church, within our world, because it is your church and it is your world. And so we pray, Lord, that we would have a real openness given to us by you to hear and receive what you have to say and to obey it with our whole hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I don't know you and how things were for you during lockdown 2020. Not great, I imagine. They were pretty grim for me, for most of us. But we did emerge, didn't we, with a few handy skills. Put your hand up if you learned how to use Zoom for the first time during the first lockdown. It's pretty handy, wasn't it? One of the skills that Lucy and I learned during the first lockdown was we learned how to grow our own food. So we did everything. We had runner beans, we had carrots, tomatoes, strawberries, lettuce. Yeah, the whole shebang. And what a joy it was when it came time to harvest your own food, to sit at the table and to eat lettuce that by God's grace your own hands had grown. Now you might be sat there wondering to yourself, why on earth does the gospel reading this morning focus on the harvest? Because harvest is what normally, like October, September. But there is a very good reason. And that reason is the festival of Pentecost. Right, we celebrated Pentecost a few weeks ago, didn't we? And the church's readings, and we're going from the lectionary, the church's readings are still echoing that amazing day on which the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. But see, what you need to understand about Pentecost was that Pentecost originally was an agricultural festival in the life of Israel. Did you know that? Right, that's why they were gathered, that's why so many people gathered in Jerusalem that day to celebrate what was known to them as Shavuot, what is known to us, what was known to them also as Pentecost. It was the grain harvest. Right, that is the context for Pentecost, the gathering in of the grain. And we're supposed to ask ourselves, you're supposed to ask yourself, why would God, in his sovereign wisdom, choose to pour out his Holy Spirit upon his church on all days on a harvest festival, at the day of the gathering in of the grain? Well, God here, he's teaching us something fundamental about what it is to be the body of Christ. You see, the harvest is ready. That is what God is saying to us at Pentecost. Jesus has died, he's risen, he reigns as Lord of the whole universe. And now we, his people, are empowered by his Holy Spirit to be laborers in the field. Right? Gathering in a spiritual harvest of people into God's barn, of people into God's kingdom. That's what Pentecost is about. That's what the harvest is about. And the time to do that, says Jesus, in our reading this morning, is now. Right? The harvest is ripe. The harvest is plentiful. Do you know, that's one of the reasons that I love old church buildings so much. Right? Look around you. If you look above, does anybody know what this section of the church that you're currently sat in is called? Anybody know what it's called? It's a bit of a church building. Anybody?
Nave.
The nave, right? It's called the nave. Does anybody know what the word nave means? Now, the nave is a Latin word. It means something. Anybody know what it means?
Vault.
Maria would know this because in Spanish it's the same word, isn't it, Maria? Yeah. It helps to be a Spanish speaker sometimes, doesn't it? The word nave means ship, or it means boat. And what that's doing there, among other things, is to remind us that we, like the original disciples of Jesus, we are fishers of men. Right? Every time you gather in this church building, this building is screaming at you, don't you ever forget it, that you are a crew on a fishing boat. And you are on urgent business. Because that is one of the fundamental task of being a disciple of Jesus, isn't it? That we make other disciples. Knowing his goodness, we take his goodness out to others. Because that's just the way of everything, isn't it? If you know something good, if you get a good deal at the supermarket, you want to tell others, don't you? Having received his goodness, we pass it on to others. Being disciples, our mission is to make more disciples. And so let me ask you a question. And you'll have a sense of this way more than I do, because we've only been here, as I say, a few weeks. Is St. Len's, is our church, a fishing boat on urgent business? Or is it more of a kind of leisurely cruise ship? And I'm not talking about a particular style of evangelism. I'm not talking about certain types of church events that we may or may not put on. Because I know that there are different ways of commending Jesus to people. Right? There are more direct ways, there are more gentle, indirect ways. I'm talking about what our core culture is. What is at the core of how we understand ourselves as a church? Are we here fundamentally for ourselves? For our comfort? For what we like? Or is it our heart's desire to see God's goodness, God's glory go out, so that the people of Denton might be blessed, so that the people of Denton might be brought to fullness of life through Jesus? It's probably a bit of both, isn't it? It's a bit of both in my life. Because all of us, I mean, I certainly do, I know I'm in here that I should be more outward focused, but it's just so much easier to just sit back and enjoy the ride as a church, isn't it? To try to make things about what I like. To try to think predominantly about, you know, what blesses me. Rather than what blesses those outside, those who need to know a saviour. So what's the answer to this? Well, I believe there's something in verse 36 of our reading. So if you've got the Bible with you on your phone or on a hard copy, it says this. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. He had compassion on them. Right, that's the pattern in our reading. Jesus has compassion. Then he sends his disciples out to reap the harvest. See, true evangelism, it always flows from compassionate hearts, doesn't it? Right? When we see the world, when we see our neighbours, right, truly see, when we see the crowd, when we actually open our eyes and we see, our hearts are filled with compassion. Because you know what, all you have to do is truly look. Right? All you have to do is truly look to see that the world is a rough place, isn't it? We see it all over the news, don't we? We see it in New Haven with the murder of this young couple this week. I mean, what a tragedy. The world is a dark place in so many ways. Our world is a world that is in desperate need of Jesus. All you have to do is look. And that is, my brothers and sisters, before you even begin to consider the awful reality of eternity. There is only one hope for humanity. And that is the Saviour Jesus. And see, when that captures you, when that realisation grips your heart, that is the fuel of Christian outreach. So let us, my friends, be people of open eyes. And then be that fishing boat. Be that nave. And then grab those sickles for the harvest. Now, in our gospel reading, Jesus, he commissions his 12 disciples specifically, doesn't he? We see that chapter 10. But our first reading from Exodus 19 that Sue read for us, that reminds us that that is not a job for a special elite. That is the job of every follower of Jesus. So here in Exodus 19, we've got God's people gathered at the foot of the mountain. Right, they've just been rescued from Egypt. And they're all gathered and they are commissioned by God. They are told by God what they are to be in his service. So verse 4, God says the following. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's the rescue in the Exodus, isn't it? Through Moses, the parting of the Red Sea, rescue from the hand of Pharaoh. And then God says this. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, says God, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, many of you were there on Wednesday at the licensing of your new priest in charge. It's a funny word, that, isn't it? Priest in charge. Because a priest in the Bible is somebody who brings God to the people. That's what a priest does. But also somebody who brings the people to God. Right? A priest is a kind of connector of two parties. And of course, only Jesus truly does that. Right? He's the one who reconciles us to God. He's the one who makes us friends with God. That's why in the Bible Jesus is called our great high priest. But see, the Bible also teaches that the whole church, everybody who belongs to Jesus, becomes a part of this priestly body, like this priestly kingdom, making Jesus known, taking Jesus' glory out into the world. Like all of us. Now, it is true that I happen to exercise that priestly ministry that we all have in a particular way. God has appointed me to be the pastor here. Like, not many people are called to do that, mercifully, because it's not an easy job. But it is a huge, huge mistake, my friends, to imagine that there is a priest up here, right, who is God's representative in Denton, while you are all down there. No, we are a kingdom of priests. That's what Exodus 19 teaches. That is what the New Testament teaches. That is what Scripture teaches. Every single believer here is somebody who is entrusted with that priestly task of bringing God to people and bringing people to God in prayer. The priestly work of spreading God's glory is one that we share, isn't it? Give me a nod. It is, isn't it? And that is why a healthy church is always a church that is committed to the ministry of every believer within the church. Right, that doesn't mean that everybody is kind of scampering to grab the microphone to get airtime at the front. It doesn't mean that at all, because that is just a scenario in reverse, isn't it? Assuming that our priestly ministry is only exercised at the front. That's not true. It is believing and living out the fact that the Holy Spirit has given gifts to all of his people, all who belong to Jesus. Right, diverse gifts, unexpected gifts, weird and wonderful gifts. Gifts of hospitality, gifts of a listening ear. Gifts of friendship, gifts of the ability to pray with people. Administrative gifts, storytelling gifts, DIY gifts. Many gifts, but in every way, because he has given them useful gifts. And so I want to be part of a church, and I hope you do too, where every gift that the Holy Spirit has sovereignly given to each and every one of his people is put to his service. So that's my invitation to you. Ask yourself, ask God predominantly, but ask yourself too, what gifts has the Holy Spirit given me for his glory in his church. Perhaps something to ponder in and chat about over coffee with those that you chat to. Yeah, but don't just chat though, do something about it. Come talk to me, I'd love to hear what it is. I'd love to hear how we can use each and every gift for the glory of Jesus that's here. That is my job, to release the gifts that God has given his holy people, his priestly kingdom. The harvest is plentiful. But you know what? He has given us everything that we need here to reap the harvest that he has raised up in Benton. Do we believe that?
Yes.
And if we believe it, we're going to do it. By God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you so much for this harvest that is plentiful. There are more people in our parish, Lord, than we could possibly ever reach, who need to hear the message of Jesus, who need to be brought in to the love and fellowship of God. And so, Father, we pray, give us a vision. Give us a vision that is larger than what it's been. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest that has been in this church over so many years. We honour that. We are grateful for that. But, Lord, we pray for more. We pray for more together. As that priestly kingdom going out, declaring the praises of him who died and rose again. And we pray that in his name.